Today's reading is going to be in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 53. Mark 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the chief priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witness do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and cover his face and strike him, saying to him, 'Prophesy.' And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. Much like the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus, this whole sham of a trial that we just read about is happening underhandedly. They're meeting in the middle of the night. They're meeting at the house of the high priest. They're doing so out of the eyes of the general public. They're doing everything in the shadiest way you could imagine. They're bringing in false witnesses. Anybody that would say anything against Jesus was allowed to be part of this. If they're simply willing to make an accusation, then they too can be part of the trial of the Son of God. You might also notice there in verse 55 that they've already decided ahead of time that they're going to put him to death. Now they're going to put together any set of witnesses that will support such a decision. They've already made up their minds. They're not actually asking questions looking for the truth. They're asking questions looking for condemnation, for some reason to justify what they've already decided to do. Can you imagine if we saw a trial like this take place in the United States today, where all the judge and jury and prosecutor, everybody decided before the trial ever started that this person was going to be put to death? Now, who can give us testimony that will support that decision? We would be in an uproar. We would be very, very upset. That's the opposite of the way that our court system is supposed to work. Well, it's really the opposite of the way this court system was supposed to work too. That's not the way they were supposed to do things. That's not what God taught them to do in terms of making decisions. So some come forward and they give testimony that has maybe a little mixture of truth in with it, but they present it in such a way that they're trying to condemn Jesus. But even in doing this, their testimonies don't agree. So it becomes obvious that they are false witness. Remember, they have to have the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses in order to establish truth. And they can't find 2 or 3 that will say the same thing so that their version of the truth cannot be established. This may be a trial that's really just for show, just to say they had a trial. Yet, they still need to have some justification, and that's the difficulty that they have found themselves in. There in verse 58, they try to use the words of Jesus against him, talking about him saying that he would destroy the temple. And of course, he's not talking about the temple that they worship in. He was talking about himself. And here they try to present that as damning testimony against him. But the truth is, they really understood the implication that he was making, because after Jesus is dead, they use that as a justification for asking for the Jesus's body to be guarded. So they're struggling to meet that standard of having two or three witnesses that can give the establishment of truth. In other words, they have to agree with one another. And things are really just going off the deep end with this trial, because they're conducting themselves in the most unholy manner that anyone could do, at least as far as those that claim to be followers of God. The high priest finally comes to the point where he asks the question, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" In the rest of this time, Jesus has been staying quiet. He's not been answering anything, but now he's asked this question, and so he answers, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Jesus answers the questions, and the high priest tears his garments, really just to show, you know, put on a show for everybody. He's finally got the testimony that he's looking for, and so he's going to put on the right kind of show to say that this is distressing that he would, you know, call himself the Son of God. Now he can finally pronounce sentence on him, and says they all condemned him as deserving of death. When I think about this, here's what comes to mind. Is he deserving of death because he fulfilled prophecy? Is he deserving of death because all the promises that were made through the Old Testament about this great hope that was to come finally has come into the world and it's going to come to fruition? Is he deserving of death because he came to save the lost? Is he deserving of death because he healed so many people that came to him? Is he deserving of death because he taught the truths of what God expects for mankind? No. He's simply deserving of death in their eyes because he doesn't fit what they want. He didn't come to overthrow the Romans. He didn't come to make Israel a world power again. He didn't come to give them what they expect, a return to, you know, the Davidic kingdom. That's the only thing that he's done that they can accuse him of. And so that's where they are. And they're going to use the very things they want in order to accuse him to Pilate. Now think back to when he's praying in the garden. He's distressed about all this that's going to happen to him. But when it comes down to it, when these things are happening, you don't see any wavering on the part of Jesus. You don't see him trying to do anything to get out of this. His hour has come. And now he is like the lamb led to the slaughter, and he's, you know, before the shearers is silent. He's just taking what he's got to take. He's going to let them humiliate him. He's going to let them drag him off. He's going to let them beat him. And I stress let, because Jesus did not have to let them do this. He was not overpowered by them. He simply is letting them do that in order to fulfill prophecy and fulfill the plan of God the Father. But when it comes down to it, if he didn't want to let them do it, then he had the power to stop them. That's what we need to realize. They did not overpower Jesus. Jesus is courageous. Jesus goes to a trial and a death, knowing exactly what he was going to face, and going to these things that you and I would do anything to try to get out of, anything to try to not be killed in such a manner. but Jesus lets it happen because he's there to accomplish a purpose. He's there to be the Savior of those that would love the Lord. That's courage. So perhaps today what we need to pray for is that we'll be courageous for Jesus. In our Sunday class, we've reached the end of Deuteronomy. We're about to start the book of Joshua. And in my Bible, I started underlining every time it was said, be strong and courageous. And that starts in the end of Deuteronomy and continues into the book of Joshua. The number of times, I haven't sat down to count, but it's quite a few in which he just said, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. We need to do the same thing. We need to be strong and courageous as followers of Jesus. We need to let our light shine in this world, a world that doesn't like Jesus because they don't like what he says. But nonetheless, we still need to shine his light because there are some that are looking. There are some that will heed the gospel and the message of Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.